Science on the Menu, a podcast by the European Food Safety Authority.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Science on the Menu. My name is Ed Bray, and I am a communications officer at EFSA. And joining me today is Antonio Fernandez-Dumont. And you work, Antonio, in one of the GMO teams at EFSA, is that right?
That's correct. Hello, Ed. I work at the GMO, mainly focus on food and feed safety aspects of GMOs, yes.
Okay, great. So today, actually, we're going to be talking about celiac disease. And it's timely because on May the 16th, around the world, we celebrate Celiac Awareness Day. So let's kick off with the simplest question, but the most important question. What is celiac disease?
Thank you, Ed. Celiac disease is an inflammatory disease. It's a chronic disorder, actually, and is derived from after gluten consumption.
Okay.
Yeah.
And gluten, where do we find gluten? What is it?
Gluten can be found in some cereals, in particular wheat, rye, and barley. But not all cereals contain gluten. For example, maize or rice do not contain gluten.
And could you give us a rough idea of how many people in Europe, let's say, suffer from celiac disease?
Yeah, in Europe at the moment, around 1% of the population suffers from celiac disease. But it's quite interesting because, of course, to develop celiac disease, you need to be genetically predisposed. Mm-hmm. And around 50% of the population in Europe might be genetically predisposed, but only 1% suffers from celiac disease.
Okay. So
it's quite an environmental component that we don't know at the moment what's going on. We have some indications, but not everything is clear on why only 1% of those suffer from celiac disease.
Okay. So it could be a mix of genes, but also a mix of something else that's going on.
From the environment.
Right, okay.
Correct.
Okay, and what does it mean actually to suffer from celiac disease?
Yeah, it's a condition mainly involving the gastrointestinal tract, in particular the small intestine, and everything that is associated to it, like vomiting, diarrhea, are the conditions suffering celiac disease. And I would say most importantly for children, because of the GI tract does not function as it should be due to the inflammation, it can cause the stop of growing of the children. So it's quite a serious condition for children.
Okay. Yeah, that's really serious. And I understand that actually there isn't a cure for the disease. Is that right?
Exactly. At the moment, there is no cure, only lifelong avoidance of gluten. That means of the cereals containing gluten, such as wheat, avoidance of wheat, barley, and rye.
Okay. And how does celiac disease differ actually from other, well, I say other, from allergies? Is the body reacting in the same way it would to, other known allergies? How is it different?
Celiac disease, as well as allergy, there is a component of the immune system, is an immune adverse reactions to foods, but it's different as compared to allergy. In the case of allergy, it's a life-threatening condition, which is not the same for gluten. And in the case of allergy, it involves immunoglobulin E, an antibody, that triggers the release of histamine and the inflammatory response that becomes systemic.
Okay.
Which is not the case for celiac disease.
Okay, but still, essentially, your body as a celiac disease sufferer is identifying the gluten and then triggering a response in the body that is responding in a way that is harmful to your own body. Is that correct, more or less?
Exactly, that's correct. But obviously, it's only to those that are genetically predisposed.
Sure.
Gluten is a protein that we find in these cereals, and it's an excellent source of protein for most of the population that can eat. I can eat gluten. Gluten is in bread, in pasta, and actually makes the characteristics of these cereals to to bake. Mm-hmm. But for those individuals that are predisposed, it's a problem.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about what the disease is, those people that get it, some of the symptoms, and the fact that the only way to deal with it is to avoid gluten. What about your work? We said that you're in one of the GMO teams at EFSA. Why would someone in a GMO team be involved on this issue, and what have you been doing exactly?
So one of the roles of EFSA is to perform a risk assessment of new products. And within these new products, the unit I'm involved is in that one, focusing on genetically modified plants. And one of the parts of the assessment is, the question is whether or not new proteins in GMOs might cause adverse effects. One of those being celiac disease, for example. So this is the reason why we focus some of our evaluations to investigate whether or not these new proteins might cause problems for those people suffering from celiac disease.
Okay. And EFSA, along with other research partners, has developed a new tool that will help celiac disease sufferers. Can you tell us more about that?
That's correct. So in 2017, we developed for the first time a guidance document with a very clear indications, comprehensive analysis on the way to assess this capacity of proteins to trigger celiac disease from GM plants, is any new proteins indeed. And among that work, we also focus on the potential development of a software using bioinformatic tools to provide information on the likelihood of these proteins, the capacity to trigger this disease. And this is how we embarked into that activity. And indeed, we released the first software a year ago, and this is already in place now, and applicants are using it for the safety assessment of their products.
Mm-hmm. So in very simple terms, you can insert a numerical value for the protein, and then the tool will be able to scan for it, and the disease sufferer would know that there could be a risk. Is that right?
Yeah, so how it works, it's publicly available, and you will enter into the software. You can input the amino acid sequence of your protein, and you get an output that will be a quantitative numerical factor giving you the likelihood that your protein has to trigger celiac disease.
Okay. And I imagine it took some time to develop this tool. Can you give us an idea of what went into it? What made it possible to develop this tool now?
Yeah, so everything started in 2013, where we launched a procurement, which means EFSA can also asked external contractors to prepare work for us. And this contractor did an excellent review on all different conditions that are not allergy, IgE mediated, for which we could develop risk assessment tools into our evaluations. And among that work, celiac disease was the one that we could find clear cause-effects relationships that could be incorporated into risk assessment. So we know the cause, gluten, mm-hmm. and we know the effect. There is clear information on the pathogenesis of this disease that is not the same for others. And because of that, we were able to define what I mentioned in 2017, the stepwise approach for the risk assessment, and even go a step further and develop a software in this direction.
So the software is available now, already to be used. Is there are there plans to develop it even further in the future?
So it has been there for a year now, more or less. And as I mentioned that before, is the first time a software of this nature is published around the world, and it will have to be updated. And this update, we just embarked into a new project with the Medical University of Sofia in Bulgaria with aiming at improving the current tool, considering the feedback received from stakeholders using it, and also considering the state of the art that has been developed in the last 2-3 years. So it will be to incorporate the two aspects.
Okay, the first in the world. Yeah, so this is, you know, really cutting edge in terms of the use of this tool and the capacity that it has. So we've talked about the tool and what EFSA developed, etc. I'd like to talk about another area, which is an increasing area of research around the microbiome, which has become an area where there is a lot of interest. I'd like to ask you whether there is a link between celiac disease and the functioning of the microbiome, which is essentially, if I understand well, the microbiome is the environment of the gut, the community, if you like, of bacteria that are in the gut. Is that correct? And what's going on there in terms of research?
Yeah, that's correct. So the microbiome, it's key for a normal function of the gut and the immune system. And we know that this function of the microbiome is involved into chronic diseases, maybe also celiac disease. We don't know exactly which one are these, but it's very likely to be involved. Mm-hmm. And actually, some of the latest publications have shown some of the peptides, the amino acids sequences in some bacteria, mimic those of gluten. Mm-hmm. And there has been some theories or hypotheses whether or not these bacteria might indeed initiate some of the disease because of this dysfunction of the microbiome.
Okay, and is this something that EFSA is looking into right now, or something that is out there in research, but we are supporting that in some way?
This is quite an interesting topic. There is quite a lot going on at the moment. And indeed, EFSA has been investing some resources on seeing how we could incorporate into risk assessment the science that we know at the moment. There has been a release actually this year of a report. It's a roadmap for the integration of gastrointestinal microbiomes in risk assessment. And I'm sure we will hear more about it in the coming future. Still, it's too early to incorporate anything in risk assessment, but this is the future to come.
Okay, so essentially what would happen in risk assessment would be to see how either a regulated product like an additive or, you know, other food safety issues could impact on the microbiome, or the microbiome impact in some way on what's going on. Is that right?
That's correct. And how the microbiome, yeah, will modify the gut or the immune system in that sense. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so watch this space essentially for the future to see how food safety assessments could evolve in that direction. Can I ask you a personal question, Antonio? How you ended up here, actually? How did you get into this area, both in the GMO team, but also working on this area of celiac disease?
So I am a vet by training, which is a bit, if you say weird, but I started as a researcher, always working with allergies and animal models. But animal models are not good models for humans. And actually, celiac disease, I think, is teaching us a lot what is the pathway to follow for other conditions for which we know much less. And this is why, we have been mainly focusing on celiac disease, not only on its own, which is a great achievement, but also to enlighten us on how to move for other conditions, maybe, which are life-threatening conditions.
Okay, so for example, someone in my family, for example, has a very specific reaction to a type of nut, a Brazil nut, where they can go into shock. This is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly. And what kind of things could be done there, actually, to limit that? Do you think it would be possible even to eradicate allergies in the long term, or is this too extreme? You're thinking about ways of detecting, etc.
Yeah. So at the moment, there are different projects for sure working in this direction to eradicate these diseases. We are not yet there. Eventually, one day, maybe it will be possible. And actually, this is one of the ultimate goals of some of these projects, to eradicate eventually these diseases. Yeah, at the moment, not possible. Yeah.
Okay. And this work that has been done on celiac disease, you say, could be a first step?
Yeah, it could be a first step, because it's giving us the pathway to follow also for those diseases. What could be these genetically predisposed conditions? What could be the environmental factors? And gluten is very well defined, a structure that we can better focus our investigation to then extrapolate those considerations into other molecules or that are more complex.
Yeah. Can you give us some examples of the kind of environmental factors that might be relevant or important in this?
Yeah, it could be, as we discussed before, the microbiome. It could be infections during your life. It could be where you live, exposure to contaminants. All this will have an impact on your immune system. And these are the environmental factors. We don't exactly know at which moment which ones will drop you into a celiac disease, for example, even if you are genetically predisposed. As I said, only 1% develops the disease.
Okay. So I imagine it could even be the case that for some people, they develop it later in life. Is that possible? Or that even that it changes over time and maybe they suffer less. Is that possible?
Exactly. That's possible, that you develop this later in life. Because of these environmental factors, at that moment, you will suffer from those and then trigger the disease. Indeed, yes. This is why you can develop this later in life.
Okay. One final question to you, Antonio. Is there anything else that you're working on now that you could share with us?
Yes, for celiac disease, we are also embarking into a project. It's called an adverse outcome pathway. And we are working in collaboration with the OECD. And it's to bring all the knowledge we have at the moment on celiac disease and describe it in one single document. That document will help us also to better understand what are the key elements we need to consider in risk assessment. And again, that one can also bring light into other conditions that are more complex to focus the attention on. So that's a work we are doing now and will finalized by the end of 2024.
Okay. I think that's a good moment to wrap this up, Antonio. Thanks very much. This tool is obviously, you know, a big step forward, and let's see how that develops also in other areas. Thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Ed. Very welcome.
And thanks a lot to all our listeners for joining us. You can find out more about the podcast on our website, all the previous episodes. Please check out our social media channels as well, where you can find some clips also of the podcast. But for now, that's all from us. Hope to join you again soon. Thank you and goodbye.